You have your Bibles this morning. Let's open to Matthew chapter 2 and remind us a little bit. We're still in that Christmas story. We're not departing from it yet. And just by way of a reminder for that, we will have one more Sunday of Christmas hymns. As we noted back at the beginning after Thanksgiving, somebody had left a note asking if we could have all our hymns, Christmas hymns, between then and the first Sunday in January. We've got enough of them in our hymnal that we can sing three each Sunday and never repeat any of the hymns that we have sung, which we have not yet repeated any hymn yet. They've been three different hymns each week. And so, yes, we will do that one more Sunday worth of Christmas hymns, and I don't have a problem with that. I know in our church in Washington, I had a young man who would later help lead in our singing, but when we would have favorites sometime in the middle of the summer, he'd pop up with a Christmas hymn and want to sing a Christmas hymn in July June or August, and bring that up. And so there's nothing wrong. They're beautiful hymns and a lot of truths to them. So just by way of reminder, we'll have another week of them, again, without repeating any that we've done. So we'll have three more next Sunday. But as we come to Matthew chapter 2, as you see on the back of your bulletin, our basic outline, the wise men who missed Jesus. Let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 to get our context of what's going on here and to get into our message this morning. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's pray. Father, we come to thee this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity that is ours to sit now at thy feet, to open up your word, to read it, to hear it proclaimed. We do pray that you would calm our hearts and our minds. May we set aside the things of our lives which so easily can draw us away, can distract us from hearing, from having the Holy Spirit take your word into our hearts and change us, molding us, shaping us into the image of Christ. Father, we have an adversary who would love to distract. I pray that you would hold him at bay. May you hold our old nature at bay, that we may focus on you and your word and allow you to use it in our lives to change us. We pray for that soul that is lost. May you be at work your convicting, convincing work to draw them unto thyself. And may they not leave till they know that they have trusted Christ, to know that their sins have been forgiven. They've been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and made whiter than snow, given a new life in Him. And Father, we thank You for the work that You will do. And may we go forth as believers rejoicing, saying it's been good to have been in Thy house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we think of the wise men, we do think that there are being three because of the three gifts that were brought. And as we sung this morning, we three kings of Orient are. And we see those three gifts that are brought. We just know that there are wise men, so it's plural. So there's at least two, not one, wise men, magi, if you will, that have come. They are bringing three gifts. We don't know if there were three. The writer of the hymn uses the three and then depicts it in the hymn, looking at each of the gifts and their significance. But as we consider these things, there are three other wise men, and I would put that in quotation marks, who also heard of the birth of the King of the Jews as we are reading this passage. But they did not follow. They did not go. And today we find people who are still the same as in Christ's day. There are those who are self-proclaimed wise men who never seek after Christ. There are those whom God considers wise who have left all to seek and to follow Christ. And as we look at these men this morning, where do we find ourselves? Because we do have these wise men that have come from the East, and we're not going to delve into who are they. Although that is a question that people still seek to try to answer. Who are these wise men from the East? And there's all sorts of conjectures. If you read Ben-Hur, Lew Wallace has taken basically the three descendants of Noah, if you will. The Japheth and Shems and Hams, and he's divided up the three into one of those. One from the Far East, the Hindu. One from the South, the Hamites, the Muhammad. And then Jephthah from the North, if you will, and brings them together back out east and has them come to Jerusalem. And yet, as we ended here, it says they departed into their own country another way. So I like Lew Wallace. I like reading Ben-Hur. But he has them coming from three different points to one point, coming to Jerusalem and then going their three separate points. But our writer doesn't say that. Matthew says they went back to their own country. So whoever these men were, if there were three or four or five or whatever, they all came from one country and they went back to one country. But you also must realize Lew Wallace was not a believer when he first started out writing Ben-Hur. He would come to know Christ as his Savior, kind of as a result of his working at studying to come up with this novel, and would come to Christ. So as an unbeliever, you know, unfortunately, unbelievers believe what they will about this book and its teachings, and they're rather free with making changes to it. And we see that with Lew Wallace. But anyway, we see them going back to their own country. So we have these wise men, yes. They've seen his star. To me, a special star. Again, people speculate what this star is, or a group of stars for some. Some think it's the constellation Arius, the ram, which is symbolic of Israel. But when you read about this star, it is a specific star, and it is a star that is able to move to help guide them to Bethlehem. Now, if you're east and you're looking at a star in the west, sure, you can follow that star west. And continue going west, whatever the star may be. But once they reach Jerusalem, the star guides them to Bethlehem. And if you will look at a map in the back of your Bibles to find where Jerusalem is and where Bethlehem is, guess what? Bethlehem is not west of Jerusalem. It's south, about 6 miles. And so this star is able to take them then over the house in Bethlehem where they are. So that star that was leading them west all of a sudden obviously changed in the sky so that they could look south and go to Bethlehem and find the specific house where Jesus was. So I don't believe that it's a star and name the star out there and that's the star that they're referring to. I believe it's a special star put there by God to direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But be that as it may, as we look at these wise men, we come to them and we find them as these wise men from the east have come to Jerusalem and they stir Jerusalem up with this question. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. That stirs up Jerusalem. That stirs up King Herod. Because King Herod is not the rightful king of the Jews. He's half Jew, half Gentile. He was appointed king by Rome. So in essence, he is a usurper to this throne. So would it not be rather unsettling for him to hear about a rightful king to the throne of Israel? Yes. And he calls these wise people, if you will. He gathers the chief priests and the scribes and demands of them where the Christ, should be born. And these wise men, we notice first of all, they knew the location. But they did not believe the Lord had come. As they're called together before King Herod, and he demands of them, where is this Christ to be born? Immediately, Micah 5:2 comes to mind. We know. In Bethlehem of Judea, just 6 miles south from here. They knew the location, but they missed the incarnation. They would doubt Christ's deity all their lives. These, not necessarily the exact same people, granted, but this same group will later on continue to be a thorn in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry in 30 plus years. It will be the chief priests and the scribes who are constantly questioning the validity of Christ's ministry. Always questioning, always doubting to the point of their own truly destruction. But in this day, as a child, they do not accept this message. And there are many like that today. As we come to this time of remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's kind of coming back into favor, if you will, to say, yes, Merry Christmas. To acknowledge that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And I know that there's lots going on out there of noting. How is it that we're celebrating the birth of a Jew born in Israel 2,000 years ago, and yet somehow we don't think they belong in that same land now? Which is a good point. I mean, many people have made it a mime or a meme or whatever you want to use, that M-E-M, word, however you want to pronounce it. But there's a lot of truth there. Nobody questions that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Israel, and yet somehow they're not supposed to be in the land where Jesus, a Jew, is born. But you know, that's for a whole different conversation. But we see people talk about this. People are willing to talk about this. But do they know this Jesus Christ? Oh, they know him. Yeah, he's the babe born in the manger. But do they know him? Do they have a personal relationship with him? Or do they just acclaim, yeah, he's a great philosopher. He was a great teacher. He had a lot of good truths that we could inculcate, maxims, sayings that we can live by. Oh yeah, that's, you're missing the point. These stop short of salvation. Notice, they come in asking, where is he born king of the Jews? Verse 2. But notice the change of words when we come to verse 4. Herod doesn't ask, where is the king to be born? He says, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Even Herod acknowledged that this king was also to be the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Herod knew Scripture. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the prophecies, if you will, of this promised one. Yes, truly the prophet, priest, and king, all in one. Knew that there was no distinction. There's not three people, but one person. They would have all of these offices, if you will. Yes, he is to be king, but he's also our anointed one, our Messiah, our Savior. Where Christ should be born. He knew, but he didn't believe. Many of us, before we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we knew, but we hadn't taken that step of faith. As I said, I knew for a year. I was hearing the messages, being explained the truths of the Scriptures. And I could have said to you, yes, Christ came to save people. Had come to that understanding. But I hadn't placed my faith in him. It wasn't personal until a year later. We must not just believe with our head, as it were, but to believe with the real us, with the heart. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, as Philip has been told to go down the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. He meets an Ethiopian who is heading back to Ethiopia. He's come to worship with the Jews. He's a proselyte of sorts, if you will. Wrong chapter. Acts chapter 16 is not there. That's Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 16 is the Philippian jailer. Sorry about that. I'm moving off on the wrong story. But in Acts chapter 16, it's the Philippian jailer who has listened to Paul and Silas. They've prayed, they've sang while they're in prison. They've been beaten. There's an earthquake and the jail bars are loosened. He's concerned. And he says, what must I do to be saved? What do I need to do to receive this Jesus Christ that you have sung about, that you've prayed to? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe that message, that convicting work that's going on in your heart, obviously. Respond to it. Believe the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what these needed to do. These wise men from the east have, I believe. They're looking for their Messiah. They know, again, the Old Testament prophecies, yes, of the Messiah coming. They know the timing from Daniel chapter 9. When the Messiah is going to appear on the scene, and that year is coming, that clock is ticking down, it's winding down. And there are people anticipating it. And it is, to me, such a beauty to see that as we read the Christmas story and realize that, yes, people were waiting. They were looking. They were anticipating. Whether it's shepherds on the hillsides outside of Bethlehem that get the glorious announcement from this angel appearing to them, or whether it's these wise men off in the east. He that is born King of the Jews, it's prophesied, we're looking for him. Or whether it be elderly Anna, who serves God by praying and fasting and knows that the Messiah is coming. Or Simeon, who too is looking, whom God had told him, you're not going to pass before you get to see your Messiah. And indeed they do when Joseph and Mary come to offer the sacrifices for purification for Mary after the birth of their son. And they see baby Jesus. And it is amazing to see that, yes, these were people that were looking. Christ is to be born. He's coming. We know Isaiah 7:14. We know Isaiah 9:6. We know Micah 5:2. We know these passages that speak of his coming, and we're looking. We're waiting. We're living in anticipation. But then there are others like these wise men, these chief priests and scribes, and even Herod himself. They hear this message. They know the truth. But do they respond? No. They don't. So yes, they knew the location but did not come. There's no indication that these chief priests and scribes said, hey guys, let us go down to Bethlehem with you to see the Christ. They're not with them. Why not? You religious leaders, you're the teachers of Israel. You know the scriptures. Why aren't you going? It's simple. They're not acknowledging that that child is their Messiah, their king. And so they don't go. They know the scriptures, but they don't find the Savior. They go to Micah, they see the message, they see the truth that is there. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. They know the biblical answer to the question, but they refuse to respond to it themselves. Because surely if they were Jews looking for their Messiah, they would go. It's been noted. Let's go see this miracle. Maybe they questioned the wise men. Rightfully so. You've seen his star in the east and you've come to worship him? There's really no prophetic utterance in the Old Testament about a star guiding us to our Messiah. So I get it that there would be a question mark in their mind as to what's up with these guys coming from the east. But it's easy enough to verify or not by one, looking outside to see the star. Two, following that star like they did to see, okay, is there some truth to this, or is this all a big hoax? But if they're really looking for their Messiah, again, they know Bethlehem of Judea. 6 miles is not a far way. Say, but they walked. Yeah, 6 miles was not a far way in their day. We may think, wait a minute, what do you mean walk 6 miles? Are you kidding me? Well, that's because we don't walk everywhere. But hopping your car to go to Lindsberg, is that a problem? Nah, we'll go there in a heartbeat. Or to Salina, or you name the city. Oh, no problem. Well, just think of it that way. It's not a problem to head down to Hutch, go up to Salina. We do that, no problems. Well, this 6 miles back in their day, walking it, was no problem. I mean, we see them walking all through the Gospels. They walk from the Sea of Galilee down to Jerusalem and back. Sure, it's a couple days' travels, yes, but they do it. That's how they get around. It's normal. It's part and parcel of their life. So it would not have been a big thing to walk the 6 miles down to Jerusalem to see whether or not this is true. To either verify or debunk it. But these men did not. They knew the scriptures, but they did not find the Savior. They know the biblical answer, but truly they didn't apply it. Yes, the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem. So let's go see if indeed this child that they're talking about that's supposedly been born is indeed our Messiah. I mean, wouldn't you want him to come? Wouldn't you want to see him? Sure, but they don't. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 reminds us of this, if you will. As Paul is speaking to them, he says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The heart speaking of the real us, the inner, the real us. This body is just our facade, our tent, but the real us. "Shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." They had the head knowledge. Yep. Micah 5:2, there's the answer. But they didn't have the heart application, if you will. It's personal. He's my Messiah. He's my King. We can't just know the Christmas story. We must know the Christmas story. Again, we in our English, we have no way of adequately making that differentiation. I know the Christmas story. And I know the Christmas story. The Greeks would. They would use two different Greek words. We can know about something, but do we know something? Experienced it personally? Do you know Jesus Christ? Not just know about Him. To state the facts, if you will. But do you know Him? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Because you've acknowledged that He is my Savior. The one who died in my place for my sins. And I have placed my faith and trust in that finished work of His on the cross of Calvary. He died in my place, He was buried, and He rose again for me. And I am His, and He is mine. And I know Him. I have a relationship with Him today because of that moment in time when my faith and trust was placed in Him and what He accomplished. They knew Christ would rule, but they would not let Him rule them. A governor that shall rule my people Israel. The plan of God was unfolding swiftly before them. And again, this opening chapters of Matthew and Luke is from the Jewish perspective, truly amazing. For as we look between our testaments, those that are study Bibles will talk about the 400 silent years. From Malachi to Matthew. There's no prophet that rose up saying, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel." It's as if the heavens just closed their doors and windows. And God was silent to Israel, His people. The ones that He had been talking to, sending His prophets, raising them up to proclaim His message to them. And Malachi closes out, and there's no more word from the Lord. For some 400 years, nothing. And then all of a sudden, Gabriel gets active. And God starts sending him around. First to the hill country of Judah to talk to, or not the hill country, to the temple to talk to Zacharias, a priest, whose course he's taking care of the altar of incense. And God meets with him, talks with him. Gabriel talks. Gabriel goes to Nazareth to talk to Mary. And we have the forerunner, John the Baptist, born, preparing the way for the Messiah. Christ is born. We have the shepherds seeing an angel, and then the rest of heaven cannot contain themselves. Yes, this angel has proclaimed that Christ is born, but the rest of heaven says, you know what? We need to join in too. And we've got to give our shout to our God who has brought redemption for mankind. Jesus is born. And we see these things happening. And these people aren't quiet. The shepherds don't say, well, that was nice. Yeah, that angel was right. There was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was laying in a feed stall. Yep. Okay, let's go back, take care of the sheep. We've been gone long enough. That was interesting. No! They're the first evangelists. anybody is awake and up and going around Bethlehem, they're letting them know, hey guys, we had an angel come to us and tell us about the Messiah, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And it's true. And you can find him. You can go worship him. You can see him just like we did. And they let that word spread. They weren't quiet about it. Christ did rule and reign in their hearts. But these men who know all these things, who have these things unfold, these chief priests and scribes, have nothing to do with this blessed message. They quote the Bible, but they don't act on its message. Have you done that this morning? Is there someone here that, yes, I know the message. I know about Christ. I know that he hung on the cross of Calvary. I know that he died. 3 days later, he rose again. But do you know the why he did it? Do you understand that he did it for you? He bore your sins in his own body on that cross, bearing the suffering, the pain, the agony of your hell. Because you could not. So that in exchange for that, he would give of his life, his righteousness to you. So that you can live forever like he is. And be with him forever in heaven. Do you know him on that personal level? If you don't, I trust he is convicting your heart this morning and drawing you unto himself. May you not resist that convincing work this morning, but may you respond to it and humbly accept that offer of salvation, that gift of God that he is offering you today. May we who know him say, yes, Pastor, I know I have that personal relationship with him. I have, yes, the joy of the Lord, and it's my strength. I know him. I know I am redeemed. He has saved me from my sins. I've been cleansed. I've been washed. I'm a child of God now. Are we showing him forth for the rest of the world to see? Are we his ambassador, as we touched a little bit on in Sunday school? We're his representative now to show him to a lost and dying world. May we take that message with us. As we said, this is one of the greatest times of the year to share that message with people. They tend to be more open to hear about not just that baby. I mean, it's fine to talk about the birth of Christ, but tell the reason. This is why we remember the birth of this baby. Because yes, Resurrection Sunday is coming. He was born that he might die on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, was buried, and then 3 days later rose victorious over sin, death, and hell for us, for you. And yes, we celebrate that day. We do it every Sunday. He arose from the dead for us. May we bear that message to those around us and let them know he loves you too. He loved me. He loves you. He died for you. Will you come to know him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for, yes, these wise men from the east who came And they found this child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they worshiped him. Yes, they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each descriptive of who he is and what he was to accomplish. And yet, sadly, there were other wise men that day who knew but didn't put faith, didn't put steps to that knowledge. And they missed their Messiah. And for those that would still be alive some 30 years later and more, would in turn reject that child as he was a man presenting himself in his ministry. And this same group, though it may have not been the same people, but those who were teachers in Israel, those who knew the Old Testament scriptures and the truths there, would in that generation reject their Messiah. May there not be one here this morning who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for that one that may be lost today, may they respond to that convicting work. As you are dealing in their heart, showing them the truthfulness of your word, the validity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may they by faith respond to your convicting work. Unless you draw them, they can't come. And so as you work on their heart, may they yield to that working. May they by faith believe, repenting of their sin, trusting Christ who died in their place. May we who know you go forth with that blessed message, willing to stand and show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and boldly take that message of salvation to a lost and needy world. Do that work now in each of our hearts. And Father, as you deal with things in our lives, may we seek your cleansing, seek your forgiveness, ask for your grace and strength, your mercy, your peace, your love, to go forth, to see the changes made that you are seeking to do in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.